Greetings and welcome to another River Radio Sports Central podcast powered by our friends at NovaCare Rehabilitation. Alongside Matt Varney from 103.5 ESPN, I am Darren Kennard, and I promise no political content today. But what we do have, Maddie, is a bunch of coaching news. We have been inundated this morning as we record on Friday. Just a ton of news, and we've got guys that have stepped aside. Yep. We've got replacements hired. We've got Hall of Famers retiring. We've got Hall of Famers on the move. We got a little bit of everything today.
Yeah, you know, when I came into the office today, which is, you know, about 5 o'clock every morning, I was like, I know we're going to talk about Cesar Valier, without a doubt. And I was like, and then we'll probably talk some baseball and softball. And then in the past about 2 hours, it's been like, I don't know if we're going to be able to get to the diamond at all. We love everything going on, and we're inching closer to postseason. But also, this is probably my favorite time of year because the carousel is so fun. And sometimes it's a name that you know. Sometimes it's brand new names. But one way or another, you're like, oh, wow, that's exciting news right there. And just everything fell into our lap, and here we are, and we're probably going to just talk coaches today.
Well, and April is usually the month that we see a lot of things because school boards will have their meetings on who's going to be retained or not retained, and all of those things, whatever the process each school goes through. And so you do usually see some movement, but everything just kind of stacked up, within the last week or so. Last Thursday, where we talked about the meeting in Johnston City where Todd Thomas and Scott Brzezinski both stepped down as football and basketball coach. And then this week, first of all, earlier in the week, Cesar Valier named Nick Wingo the new head football coach. Wingo was a former Red Devils standout player. He's been an assistant for Coach Rude and Coach Shadowins the past several years as well. And so they gave him the promotion to take over to replace those guys.
Yeah, it took a little bit longer than I think a lot of people thought it was going to be. When we heard about Rude and Shadowins, you heard whispers that, yeah, he's probably out of there as well. And so when you heard that, you heard that, you know, there was some names being tossed around, and took a little bit longer, but from everyone that we've talked about, it seems like if you want to continue this guaranteed as much as you possibly can, continue the success, seems like Wingo's probably the man to go with. He knows what the deal is and is going to just keep things moving along. Now, of course, things change on a dime in high school sports, and so who knows until you get into the fall what's going to happen. But the guys know who Wingo is, and things are going to be, I think, pretty good for Nick.
And continuity, I think, is a great term to use when you have a situation. And we see this frequently where, you know, a longtime coach steps aside and his assistant will take over. But in this particular case, which has been a different dynamic with co-head coaches.
Yeah.
Nick Wingo, his first head coaching job, oh yeah, you have to follow two Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not to put any pressure or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not telling him anything he doesn't know. But, you know, when you have that situation, he is stepping in behind two guys that have had, you know, tremendous careers.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I was talking with somebody yesterday, and the realization hit me. It should have hit me sooner, but the top three teams in the Black Diamond for football all have new head coaches going into next year. Johnson City, we're still waiting to find out who exactly is taking over there, but Carmel White County and Cesar Valier both basically giving that job to their top assistant, and it's kind of next man up mentality, which is what football coaches love to talk about. We sometimes see that assistant step in, and things are a little rocky to begin with, but again, continuity is so big. Usually you don't have to go out there and hire a brand new staff. You say, you know what, things are working well there or there. Maybe you have to fill in the gap that is being replaced at that point, but usually you keep everybody there, and as long as everything's still good, that's all that matters.
And the one caveat here is that when you have a traditional situation, when the head coach leaves, that is, you know, obviously a big, you know, loss, especially when there's success. But now you're talking about here are two coaches. So these guys handled so much of the duties. So now you're essentially having to replace two guys.
Yeah.
And so that's an even bigger step.
Yeah, and I mean, the other daunting part about it for Coach Wingo is that one of those guys he's going to have to see during the season and kind of get a quick report card from him. And from what I've heard, and Christopher, They've got a lot of boys out in the weight room right now. Things are feeling up. You got a little bit more in there. Obviously, you've always got your athletes at CZR out there, but now you've got maybe some guys that are getting development that weren't getting development beforehand or are out with a little bit more enthusiasm. You know, Mike Root has apparently already turned that program around. We'll see what the results are on the field. But again, that report card, when it comes due, when CZR and Cesar face off in that big rivalry game, Coach Wingo might find out just where the disparity lies in potentially coaching.
Well, and this is just going to be like me feeling really old right now, mm-hmm. is that, you know, as far as longest tenured in the conference, you know, obviously Mike Root is still the longest tenured coach, but longest tenured at the particular school, Justin Townsend, and I covered Justin when he was a player for the Mules. And so I feel really old, and it's also seeing, you know, Landon Zerlini, we talked about a few weeks ago, getting a head coaching job at South Central, which is the school that involves my alma mater. Again, and he's, you know, Coach Townsend's stepson, and you see him grow up, and I'm old. That's just what we've established here is I'm old, and it's okay. I readily admit it. So, on to the news of today, and
a lot of it.
It started, at least my part, started with news that Woodlawn had hired a pretty good volunteer assistant. And you know, it's not often that you can get a volunteer assistant that has 598 career wins, but that's what is the case in Woodlawn as they hired Rob Flanagan, who is retiring from Olney, and, you know, he's not going to coach the Tigers beyond this past season. And so he comes to Woodlawn, where his nephew, Luke Cooper, is the head coach. And what a huge addition to the staff. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I mean, Flanagan is just a fantastic coach. He knows what he's doing. Olney, like Heron, just always ended up being a team that played a mostly 2A schedule but ended up in the 3A postseason. But Rob Flanagan knows exactly what he's doing. He's going to get the most out of those Woodlawn boys. And, I mean, to build off of basically maybe one of the best seasons Woodlawn has ever had and hopefully do even better next year. I mean, that's the addition that you're looking – when you look at high school basketball, there's not a lot of addition you can do aside from the guys that are coming from eighth grade in. But one thing you can do is affect your bench.
Well, and what Woodlawn is, you know, I mean, and obviously this is a school that has gone to state and has, you know, has done big things in the past, but it's been a struggle a bit in recent years. But they were 19-13 this year, and I knew they were young, but when I looked at their roster this morning, only three upperclassmen.
Yep.
One senior, two juniors, and the rest were freshmen and sophomores.
Yeah,
again, this team won 19 games this year, and now you've got a situation where that bench, you just mentioned it, that bench is now really been fortified, and so the Cardinals are definitely going to be a team to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and you mentioned 19-13, but a lot of those losses were, pretty decent losses.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like they're a fantastic team, without a doubt. And so it'll be interesting to see just how much he affects things. I think they're going to do – because they were kind of the odd man out of the top three of the 1A schools in this year, where it was like, okay, you got those three, and then Woodlawn's probably number four. But they're no slouches by any means.
No.
They're a very good club. Only going to get better with Rob Flanagan joining the ranks.
And what a great opportunity for Luke Cooper.
Yes.
To have, you know, that guy being your right-hand man, so to speak, and just being able to just pick up so much, you know, through not only through osmosis, but just, you know, sitting and talking ball.
Yeah.
And not that, you know, they talk ball anyway.
All the time.
I mean, but to be in that setting, that's going to be big time.
Well, and also just, I mean, we've talked and we've heard other people talk about, you know, obviously Rob retired from Olney, but there's a couple openings and there was a couple that we were like, we don't know if something might happen there one way or another. And we said, Rob could be right there and maybe they could entice him out of retirement. Volunteer coaching, he gets to keep his love of basketball and coaching, whereas also dialing it down quite a bit.
Sure.
He gets to show up to practice basically and say, do this, do this. okay, I'm out of here now, basically.
I was talking to a coach that I've known for many years, and he was retiring as a teacher. And originally, he was not going to continue coaching either. He was just going to retire the whole bit. And it was funny because I had just read an article the day before about the number of retired people that were going back into the workforce. Yeah. And it wasn't because they had to. It was because they were bored.
Yes.
And so I relayed that story, and it's like, you know, these guys and gals, they teach all day and then they coach all night and they break down film and they get ready and all this and that. And then all of a sudden for that to just all go away. I mean, yes,
you know,
if you golf or you fish, you know, you woodwork or whatever it is, but there's still a big hole to fill, and especially that competitive thing. Mm-hmm. Well, he went back and coached, and I remember talking to him and asking him, you know, how's it going? And he's like, this coaching when you're retired is great.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, he's like, I'm able to play golf in the morning. I can get a workout in. He's like, and at 2:30, when I walk in for practice, I am refreshed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and for those situations, a lot of the times, you know, you mentioned all those things. They do all of that. They look up at the clock and they say, it's 10:30. I guess it's time for lunch. And then the afternoon, yeah, they're like, what do I do now? And yeah. So, if you can be able to step away from one but not the other, it usually is at least a nice kind of soft landing for whenever you do to say, you know what, I'm hanging it up on the other side as well.
So where we had something similar to that, mm-hmm. is Jim Miller at Carbondale.
That's right.
Who had stepped aside, was out a couple years, came back for a couple years, and then he has stepped back away from the program. And then Carbondale posted this morning, announced via social media, that Tommy Holder was the new head coach. And that was expected because yeah. Tommy went to Carbondale after Jim came back, and so that it appeared to be the succession plan.
Yes.
And that's the way it played out. And obviously Tommy is a guy that played and had great success at Carbondale. He coached at Rend Lake for 9 seasons. He also had a year at Cesar Vallier, and then of course he's so familiar with the Carbondale scene. Mm-hmm. It feels like that, you know, that was kind of a no-brainer for the Terriers.
Yeah, when Jim came back, you know, I looked at it and I said probably 2 to 3 years, and he did 2. I was expecting 3, quite honestly. And especially when you look at the Carbondale roster, they had 1 senior and then everybody else was junior, sophomore. You were like, okay, Jim probably could come back for 1 more year, just see, can we do it? But for whatever reason, I haven't talked to Jim yet, so I don't know what his reasoning would be. He probably just told me it was time.
But, right.
But whatever the reason is, he said 2 years is enough. Tommy's ready to go. And, you know, Tommy was at Cesar for a year before going to Carbondale. And so best of luck to Tommy, obviously. I mean, it's big shoes to fill. They had 2 guys try to do it beforehand. But I think that they set Tommy up as well as they possibly could have with Jim coming back. And that's when you see coaches come back, usually they have a game plan of, okay, right. I'm getting out, but we're going to set things up for the right. next guy.
And I think, and again, I haven't talked to Coach Miller or former Coach Miller either, but that seems to be what has happened. And
yeah.
it also, you know, because if he sticks around for 1 more year and they do really well, and those,
right.
you know, some of those guys graduate and all this and that, and so now his replacement comes in and he doesn't have the full cabinet, the stock
right.
cupboard,
yeah.
So to speak. And so I think it sets them up. And again, not that it's the Carbondale situation, but just looking at it as a whole, I think it would be really difficult to retire, be out for a couple years, and then come back.
Yeah, it's tough.
Just because even in that short period of time, not only do the faces change, but the mentality changes,
yeah.
You know, and all the other things that, you know, especially older people,
yeah.
you know, and you know, I look at it, if I was in that situation, you'd come back and go, oh my gosh, why am I dealing with this?
Right. Yeah. Well, and the other side of it is that, I mean, you talk to anybody that is in teaching right now, the kids have changed, not always for the better, but ever since the pandemic. And Jim did coach during the pandemic season, that shortened season. But then he said, okay, I'm done.
Right.
And in those 2-3 seasons since that and then him coming back, things changed.
Right.
And I don't know how much Coach Miller knew about that coming in, but 2 seasons in, I'm sure he's like, oh, yeah, things are way different than even when we did that strange shortened season. I'm sure he's sitting there being like, they're completely different because they had to deal with totally different circumstances while they were entering high school. And right. so I'm sure things are different, but from what I also understand, I mean, things are back to normal at this point. Right. So eventually, hopefully you get back to how things were, but guys like Coach Jim Miller can't sit around and wait another 5 to 10 years for it to go back to equilibrium.
Right. And again, I think that you come back and you kind of stabilize the ship.
Yep.
And then, you know, they are set to have some success. They've got some good young talent yeah. coming back. And so then I think that it's okay, we've kind of set the table.
Yep.
Not that we're putting pressure, or, you know, I mean, nothing that we say is going to put pressure right. on Coach Holder that he isn't already putting on himself, you know, because there's just that desire to be good, and
Absolutely.
You're a competitor. And, you know, this feels like, you know, again, that without having talked to him, but just kind of looking at it from the outside, that feels like this was the play.
And it feels like a lot of the schools have been trying to go that way as well, that they try to have someone on the staff. Sometimes things happen and you either got to fire a guy or he leaves unexpectedly and maybe you didn't have the next man in place. But it feels like past 5 years or so, it feels like a lot of the schools, specifically on the hardwood,
right.
have been trying to set them up for whether the coach that is in place at the time that they hire the one guy as an assistant or
right.
maybe even down at the middle school level one way. They're trying to set things up for those guys that when the next guy takes over, they know him, they're used to him, they get what that person's about, and Tommy's no different.
It's a concept that I really had never even, I don't recall ever seeing before Matt Painter left Southern to go
yeah,
to Purdue
exactly.
as the coach in waiting. And to me, it was bizarre because he's at a mid-major, he's going
yeah.
to the NCAA tournament, but... You know, it also made sense, you know, because obviously the big school had the ability to pay him to be the lead assistant so that, you know, if there was a pay differential, it wasn't much. But then he is on the staff. Not that he needed an extra year of tutelage necessarily from Gene Katie, but to be there, to be within the program, and then to be able to have that full year to recruit
right.
was a big deal. And so now it's kind of become that thing that, you know, you mentioned it. Schools have kind of said, okay, this is a guy that we know he's probably got a handful of years left before he's going to be ready to step down or retire, whatever that looks like. And so we want the next guy. And we want, you know, if we really like what the current guy is doing, we want the next guy to at least be around him and to
yeah.
get a feel for the way he or she runs the program.
Well, and I mean, again, Matt Painter probably didn't need that full tutelage from Gene Katie at the time, but also you are going from a mid-major to a power school. And so things are a little bit different.
Sure.
Same thing with Tommy Holder going from Cesar Valier over to Carton. Now, he had the Ren Lake experience as well,
right.
but when even though it was just 1 year at Cesar Valier, you know, you're used to doing Black Diamond things, not disparaging the Black Diamond by any means, but going from a 1A Black Diamond school to a 3A South 7 school, things are going to be a little bit different. And so Tommy's had a chance to adjust to that type of culture.
Well, and then the other adjustment is obviously in college, you can go try to recruit the guy
right.
you want. You know, in high school, it's supposed to be you get who comes up. But even the other part is that even though he played in it, even just something as simple as, you know, you have to, you know, rearrange the travel schedule.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of, you know, when you're in the South 7, you got to go to Cahokia. And so that mm-hmm. means the bus leaves it at 2:30
right.
instead of, you know, when you're Cesar playing Christopher, the bus leaves at 4:45.
Right, exactly.
You know, or whatever it is. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And so there's even just those small, or at least it would appear to be small logistical things that, you know, look, he's able to kind of get back in it and
yeah.
see firsthand. As a player, you don't pay attention to those things.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, now he's gotten that under his belt. Okay, when we go to Cahokia, the bus is going to leave here. You
right.
know, those type of things.
Right.
Again, that sounds minute, but it's when you're the head coach.
Yeah.
All that falls on you.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
And you're the guy that's ultimately responsible for making sure everybody's on the same page.
Well, and with Tommy also being from Carbondale and having that experience as well, you know, we saw SIU do this several times, going the pipeline. They've gotten away from that. But for Carbondale especially, you know, Jim was there for forever. But then when he first stepped down, you got Troy Barton and then eventually Lee Nalon, who both good coaches in their own rights in what they do, but they weren't Carbondale guys. You know, both of them had connections to the area. Heck, Barton was from El Dorado, but they didn't have that full Carbondale connection. You get a guy that has now been mentored by Jim, and then also just the fact that he is a Carbondale guy, he's going to come in with a little bit of fire, say, you wear that town across your chest with pride, and you're going to make sure that people that come out to watch Carbondale know what we're about. And not saying that Barton and Nalon didn't do that, but he's going to have a little bit more extra fire because he's like, this is my town, dang it.
Well, the other thing that he brings is that, you know, this is a guy that has his fingers on the pulse of what the town, he knows what,
absolutely,
you know, what the town is like, what, you know, what the kids are going through and things that they have to deal with. And, you know, as an outsider, you come in, you don't really know. I mean, you may have an idea or you may have a preconceived notion. I mean, Tommy knows what, you know, what his kids, you know, and again, it's different today than when he played many years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
But again, as a guy that's, you know, in the community and he knows the surroundings, so to speak, and I think that's really important, and I think that's an underrated quality that the best coaches have is that not only do they know how to get the best out of their kids on the floor or on the field, they're getting the best out of them as people because they have an idea of what's the best way to get them there.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I think Coach Holder is the right man for the job. And, I mean, he was when they hired him on as an assistant for Jim, without a doubt. And this has been the plan. And so just it feels like it's the right move. The ship was kind of starting to sink a little bit for Carbondale. Things were – they were ringing the bells when Jim came back and when Coach Miller came back, it was like, oh, whoa, that's nice right there. Didn't think that was even on the table, but you knew that it was a right-the-ship type of moment. He's right at the ship. Now he hands off the captain's hat, the wheel, over to Coach Holder, and we see where this takes us. But he does traverse into a very dangerous set of waters, which is the South 7, which is, this past year, one of the strongest conferences that we've seen in the past decade.
Right, and then in 26, you're going to add Highland to the mix, and so that will make it interesting. The other bit of coaching news today, again, involved another Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Darren Lee announced that he is retiring from Collinsville. Lee won 760 games in three stops. He spent 2 years at Vienna. He was at Nashville for, I believe, 18 years, maybe.
Sounds about right.
And then, you know, he was at Collinsville for 16. And, I mean, 760 wins, that's getting it done.
Yeah.
And then he posted on his social media about the fact that his dad, David Lee, who played at Southern and then coached in a couple different stops here. He coached for 28 years. Between the two of them, they won more than 1,200 games.
Wow.
What a legacy.
Yeah. I mean, father and son, usually, when you combine lengthy careers, you're going to see something like that. But still, 1,200 is amazing. I mean, no one has gotten that high just in terms of a single coach. So, but to be able to combine your two, that's pretty good. I mean, Darren Lee was just a fantastic coach. Obviously, I didn't get to experience him in this area, but I've only ever heard good things about him. And then, I mean, yeah, he just kept things going. Collinsville always been a powerhouse, but he's been there the past 16 years, and he made sure that tradition continued. And, I mean, Collinsville will probably have, like Carbondale, a next man up ready to go, but, I mean, they're going to miss him without a doubt.
Well, what's interesting is you think father and son,
mm-hmm.
you think the son would take over for the father.
Yeah.
But they did this separately.
That's right.
And so...
this makes it amazing.
You know, yes, I think that makes it even bigger because, you know, Darren kind of went out and forged his own path,
mm-hmm.
you know, went to Vienna for a couple years, had a really good run there, and then turned that into the Nashville job where he had a great run that involved a couple trips to state, and eventually, you know, he steps up to Collinsville, which is a 4A team, and again, a storied program from many years past, and had been kind of struggling, but he kind of, again, you talked about righting the ship. He kind of got things back going. This year was not a banner year. I think they ended up 14-17, but they had a great run there here in the last few years, and of course, his top player ended up going to SIU Edwardsville, Rayshon Taylor.
That's right.
Helped the Cougars end up getting to the NCAA tournament this past season. So certainly, again, legacy is the only word that really, I think, truly fits this situation where you see Darren and his dad David and what they accomplished.
Well, and you talk about his path also, and I feel like a lot of times we see the up and comers at, you know, Vienna or another smaller school that they turn them into something good, and then a bigger job, bigger prestige job, if you will, Nashville. One of the more prestigious ones in the entire area opens up, and he does fantastic things with them. And usually, that's where a lot of coaches say, okay, that's fine, because something usually does come along. Sometimes it takes 5 years, 10 years, 18 years, like you mentioned with Nashville. But, usually a lot of those coaches, that opportunity comes along, and they say, well, do I really want to uproot my life and all my family and everything? And a lot of them say, I'm good. But for Darren, the situation, apparently, I wasn't there, so I wouldn't be able to say, but the situation was good enough for him to say, you know what, yeah, we're going to uproot, we're going a little bit further down the way, we're going to the metro area, we're going to Collinsville, and he cemented his legacy there. You know, he could have stayed at Nashville, and probably today we'd be talking about potentially the Nashville job being open instead, but he decides instead to go to Collinsville. He just took that extra step that, again, a lot of coaches never truly get to doing because they do so well at that second or third stop that they're like, do I really want to uproot my family right now when things are going the way they are? And he took that leap of faith, and his family, again, I don't know exactly what stage they were at that point, but whoever took that leap with them, they all ended up getting the reward for it.
The breakdown, was doing a little research earlier. He was 39-15 in 2 years at Vienna, 426-128 in 18 years at Nashville.
Pretty good.
That's okay. And then he finished 295-189 in 16 years at Collinsville. Total record 760-332. So he was 8 games away from reaching 1,100 career games coach. And again, 36 years as a head coach, and you think about how the game has changed over that course of time. Yeah. That means you better have some adaptability.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we're talking about 1989. Things were just a little bit different back then.
Oh,
again, I reminded you again.
Another old moment that the year I graduated high school. So so that just means that Darren's older than this Darren.
That's so, right. Yeah. So you get a little bit of youth from that.
I feel better. Thank you. Thank you, Maddie. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the River Radio Sports Central podcast, powered by our friends at NovaCare Rehabilitation. See, I told you no political talk today. It was all coaching. Next week, we'll be back to, unless all heck breaks loose again next week. But again, next week, the meme's coming. It's going to be May. And so now we are within, the sniffing distance, so to speak. The finish line is starting to come into the play, and postseason will be just around the corner. And so we'll be talking about conference titles, and the postseason seedings will be coming out pretty quick as well. And so it's shaping up to be a sprint to the finish, if you will.
Yeah, without a doubt, we're going back to the diamond next week. I can feel it. I mean, if nothing else, I know for a fact that a week from this Saturday, Heron and Mount Vernon play at Busch Stadium. So we'll have to touch on that next week for sure.
Yeah, what an experience that would be. Anyway, hey, folks, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care.